Hello, everyone. Welcome to People's Internet Radio, where we're streaming live, but also today, welcome to Jill Trebilcock Live from Australia Internet Radio. And for Stephen Roberts, my producer, Cancel the Cabal, who's kind of going to be streaming this later on, I went to a march the other day because we have a very difficult problem with our Prime Minister who's saying you can't march. And that's the main reason that I went to the march, was because in Australia they think that people should give up the right to march, which is completely unconstitutional. And there was a marvellous woman there whom I'm about to introduce you to, Janet, who was read a letter out about what is happening with our, a letter out that was snuck out to her from a detention centre that Australia has. We have these boat people who people come over to Australia for refuge, and then we catch them and we put them on a boat. So welcome, Janet. I don't know whether I'm to say your surname or not.
That's fine. Just Janet is fine. Thank you.
Janet is absolutely perfect. So, Janet, you know a lot about Manus Island and you've been involved in it for some time. Thank you for being so kind as to coming to talk to us about it. I don't know nearly enough. So would you like to fill in the American audience and the Irish audience and anyone else in the world who's listening, and this one actually even goes as far as Mongolia and Russia, about what's happening in Manus Island? Councillor
okay.
Cabal does. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it started when the Labor government were in power, and there's been a consecutive governments that have tried to dehumanise asylum seekers. It's a part of the history of racism that Australia has been built upon since the invasion 200 plus years ago. Out of that, there has grown some kind of a culture that has been toxic, has been underneath, and not truly spoken about. However, it has truly come to the fore and is affecting many people. What happened was that the government decided that people seeking asylum would not be allowed to settle in Australia. This goes against the UN Refugee Convention plus UN Human Rights. So they actually opened a camp on Manus Island, which is in Papua New Guinea, and one on Nauru. They excised Christmas Island from Australia and opened a camp on there. Anyone who arrived after the 19th of July in 2013 was to be left in these camps and would never be settled in Australia. This is what they were told. The camps were set up very quickly. The camps are incredibly under-resourced. The staff are under-trained and the people are held in concentration-like conditions. Things like, I know on Nauru that people are kept in tents, often with no mosquito netting, no windows. It gets to 50 plus there, and this is where women, children, men, families are held. The food is never great. But Manus Island is where a lot of men are held, and there the conditions are horrific. On the 17th of February this year, there had been about 2 weeks, I think, of peaceful demonstrations by the people who were incarcerated on Manus Island, asking for information as to what was going to happen to them. They had been there for 9 months, some of them longer, some of them years. And with no information as to whether they would ever have their claims processed by Australia or any other country. Then there was, anyway, a whole lot of things happened. There was a whole lot of violence. There were guns were shot into the camp. Stones were thrown. People were bashed over the head with rocks. People's throats were cut, slit by machetes. A whole lot of people broke into the camp. People were dragged out from hiding under beds and bashed and bashed. There was one man, a young Iranian man called Reza Barati, who was killed that night. And there were hundreds of people who were injured, and some of them incredibly severely. I know that two men have lost all of their sight. I know at least one man has become a paraplegic. And I know that there has not been sufficient medical care. That's Manus Island detention camp.
Absolutely disgusting. I just sent Stephen some pictures of Manus Island. It's absolutely atrocious. So who cut people's throats with machetes?
Well,
who broke into the camp
and
why? I know that must be a side issue, but that's obviously the Papua New Guineas aren't happy with the situation either.
No, I think that yes, this the problem with Manus Island Camp 2 is that it has been forced upon the locals.
Mm.
So this has caused a lot of problems. Their land was taken so that they could build this camp.
Mm.
They were, you know, their housing was taken. The places that they knew and loved that was theirs was taken by the Australian government to create this camp. And there is a lot of rumour going on from different people around on both sides. The asylum seekers, it seems, are being presented to the local people as criminals and and that they are very dangerous people, when in fact they are like you and I, who have been tortured and been through hell and are seeking asylum, which is a legal thing to do. On the other hand, what is being spread through the camp is that Papua New Guinean people are cannibals and that they are dangerous and violent. There is even, when I read the letter, I'll read from another man who gave a little bit of information about some of the courses that are run in the camp that explain to them how dangerous Manus Island is. It seems to me that this is a strategy to create the kind of violence that we saw in February.
Yeah, and just create incredible fear, and they're kept in these absolutely substandard conditions. And othering has always been... Yeah, go on.
Like on Manus Island, I think most of the men, there's 40 men to a container, like a tin container, metal.
And that's bloody hot there. It's so hot there. Like, we're in the tropics.
Yeah, there's just no air. And people are saying, we're very sick. We're sick physically and we're very sick mentally.
Let's read that story. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. There's often not enough water. They are given 500 mils a day. Amnesty International found this, which is certainly not enough for the high 40s degrees and the humidity that they are under.
Absolutely atrocious. And Tony Abbott's latest argument that I saw him come up with was, oh, we want to stop the people from drowning themselves and going out into the great big dangerous ocean.
Yeah, it's absolutely horrible the way that he is trying to present this as saving people's lives, when in actual fact, the strategy that they're using is they are hoping to put people under such incredible torturous conditions, and they are torturous conditions, that they'll, and then deport people, which is the other thing they're doing, is deporting people back to their unsafe places.
That should be illegal too. Is that against, that would be against the
deterrence.
I beg your pardon, sorry.
Apparently this is deterrence. This will stop people dying in the sea. This is what Tony Abbott says. It's dreadful. But yeah, we've broken something like, I can't remember the amount, but something like 162 UN human rights conditions so far.
And yeah, well, I'd believe it.
It's just scary.
It's really, really scary. And Janet, I'm so proud of you for being informed about this and fighting this, because it seems like an impossible fight, doesn't it? Because when you're trying to fight the government, the thing that annoys me so much about it is the quality of training, not just the living conditions, which are obviously atrocious, but you were saying that the staff are undertrained. And when you're dealing with refugees who are already suffering from a lot of trauma and stress, and then you put them in the hands of people with no training and no sensitivity to their situation, but who instead are looking at them in a subhuman manner, that is just absolutely insane. But I suppose only untrained people would be, or morally corrupt or ethically corrupt people, are prepared to work there.
And I think desperate people. I think that the other thing is that some of the so-called death squads in PNG, who are used by the military to go in and sort out issues within PNG, and we can think of some of the atrocities that are happening in West Papua in relation to this. The so-called death squads are also employed by the security companies who run these detention centres.
So they're just hired thugs. Would you like to read the letter so people
I would,
can get
and
an
I would
idea?
And I'd really like to say that the heroes here are the people who are detained, who are going through these horrors and are still speaking out and trying so hard to have their voices heard. And I also want to say that I am so amazed at how people within these conditions are able to care for each other. It's what I've found time and again is the beautiful way that many of these people create a community and take care of each other. So I want to congratulate everybody on that. And I want to say to them, you're not forgotten. We're thinking of you and you are such incredibly courageous people. Now I'll read the letter. I want to thank the writer of the letter for really putting himself in danger by sending this to me. Hello. I do not know how to start my letter. It is for 7 months that I and about 1,200 asylum seekers are in Manus Island. All of us got mentally and spiritually sick because of the camps, unusual pressures and shortages, and also because we are unsafe. We passed the Indian Ocean in safety, but there is something more dangerous than that ocean which put our lives in risk and in danger. That is Manus. That is the people who are employed by G4S Company, which is the company that has been running Manus Island Detention Center.
G4S.
That is about to change. Really. In the whole world, no government has treated the asylum seekers as brutally as they treated us on the night of 17th of February. They hit the defenseless and innocent asylum seekers with iron bars, sticks, swords, and shot them by guns. Please go to the BBC Persian site and watch the pictures and watch what they did with us. As you know, one person called Reza Bharati got killed and about 150 more got badly injured. About 60 of the injured people are seriously hurt and nobody cares about them. There is not enough medical equipment to cure them. All of us are scared and frightened as much as we cannot sleep at night. We are all in unsafe camps. We need you and all international organisations' help. We are in a so complicated situation at the moment. It is a prison. It is not a camp. They let no reporter to visit the Manus camps or us. They did not let the reporters to visit the injured asylum seekers or to see the broken and full of blood rooms in the Mike camp. We are all under mental and spiritual torture. Please, for the sake of God, help us. It is for 26 days passing from the murder of Reza Bharati and the injuring of 150 more. But no reporter or detective or anybody else, no one came to inquire about those events. It seems that no one cares about us in this big world and everyone has forgotten us. The Australian G4S staff think of their lives only. They have a plane ready to fly out. If something happens, they run away and leave us alone with the people of Manus Island and they slaughter all of us. I believe that we are the most defenseless asylum seekers in the world. If the Australian government did not want to accept us as asylum seekers, we want it to please give us to the countries which do accept asylum seekers, like New Zealand, Canada, the USA. We need your help now. Somebody, please help us. That's it.
It's just my body. Go on, Stephen.
I didn't say anything. That wasn't me.
It's absolutely, my body was actually tingling. And it reminded me of why I grabbed you when you stopped reading that letter the other day, because this does have to get into mainstream media. And it's atrocious to think of them lying there battered and wounded and mending, no doubt without plaster and doctors and antibiotics and all sorts of things. And but there's probably more people have died too, or they'll be deformed for life. And this is how the Tony Abbott government is looking after these people. And the fact that they won't let in reporters, I mean, that's just another right, isn't it? Just
It's been, you know, they've never let reporters in, and it's become tighter and tighter. Same with Nauru, they just won't let reporters in, which tells you something, I'm sure.
It's absolutely, exactly. What are they hiding? Well, now we know. And this guy got a letter out, which is absolutely fantastic of him. And I'll try and we'll have a copy of this for that you can spread around the world. And we'll hope everybody will grab the MP3 of this and spread it around. And we've got to do something about it. Have you got any suggestions as to what we can do, Janet?
Okay, well, the letter has been put up on a site called thenewparliament.com. It's www.thenewparliament.com. Mm-hmm. And it's called This is the Letter the Abbott Government Doesn't Want You to See.
Yeah.
the things that I think are important to do, one is those detention centres within Australia that you can visit, go and visit people, find out what it's like, because you will learn so much from that. Talk to people. The other thing that we need to do is this kind of information needs to be shared as widely as possible. As we know, Murdoch is controlling the media in Australia and very little is coming out. So it's about finding new ways of getting voices heard. And so shows like this are incredibly important because in Australia, we do not have free media anymore.
Well, interestingly enough, I opened it happened accidentally, but yesterday I started a radio station in Australia, an internet radio one called Australia Internet Radio. Mm-hmm. And if anybody who wants to put any stories on that, we can do interviews and put them on there. I'm sure Stephen won't really want to be in on that. Steve is my producer at the moment, but I will learn how to put it on. I do have another friend who's helping me as well. So we can put them, anyone can come on Australia Internet Radio or contact me and we can do as many stories as you want on this.
That's brilliant. I think that's a really important move, and I'm sure I can send some people your way.
And I might wake up and remember the time that I had the appointment. That was I'm not normally that slack, Janet.
You know what? I have been so exhausted the last 3 days that it's kind of been a relief.
Oh, good.
The other thing that I do is I run an online writing group, which is made up of people I've made contact with in detention centres within Australia and offshore and in Indonesia. So there is some amazing writing coming out of that. So actually getting that work out too, I think, is really important.
Right. So that's two contacts, thenewparliament.com and also what's the name of your writing group?
The writing group is actually closed. It's to create a safe community that where people can share their work, and then that will be sent out to different media outlets and literary magazines. But there is, as part of the New Parliament magazine, we are about to launch a page which hasn't quite got a name yet, which will have writings by asylum seekers.
Okay, so it's the New Parliament magazine, is it?
It's online. So
it says About Us. I'm just clicking on the About Us. I was thinking Susan Postle or somebody like that might be interested in doing a story on this, don't you think, Stephen?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Sandy Frost. Yeah, maybe. Maybe somebody.
We'll see if there are other people. Anyway, that's a very moving story. Stephen... I think you want to go to bed, don't you?
Well, it depends on how much more you want to do, Jill. It's all up to you. I can do another half hour, or if you think you're done, if this is fine, it's up to you.
Well, we've got the message out, Janet. So what else can we do?
The one other thing is I was sent from Manus Island, was it yesterday, was this information which I haven't verified, which is that let people know that the Australian government is spending a lot of money, which we know it's spending millions and millions and millions of money detaining people. The money does not go to the care of the people, but goes to private businesses.
Well, I'm really curious about that. That's what I was thinking. How can everyone who's listening would please Google Manus Islands and images. It is really substandard, particularly, there are tents and there are stretches and things like that, but then there's a lot of sort of filth and squalor houses aren't properly aired, you know what I mean? Like they ain't Queenslanders, you know, they're not houses that are built for the tropics, that's for sure.
You can find actually some images also of the actual camp, and you'll find that have just come out recently, and I don't have the link for them with me, but you'll find that toilets are a problem for some of the, because the camp is broken up into different sort of units, and some units are worse than others. Mite compound, I think it is the mite compound. I can't remember which compound, but one of the compounds is really bad. And there have been times when there's been three working toilets for 400 men. There's constantly gastro and all of those problems happening. People have to wait, you know, a long, long time to use the toilet. They have to ask for showers, which can only last a very short time. They're only allowed to have a certain amount of showers. So you can imagine if you have severe gastro, that's a real problem.
Look, it seemed, and those diseases travel just so much more differently in tropical conditions, and it takes a while to get used to it. I have found that the ABC actually did do an article on this, and they're saying that the G4S security firm says the PNG police stood back and allowed the locals to break into the compound last month. And they did nothing to stop them beating the detainees, in some cases, participated in the violence. It also says that there are a spokesman for Immigration Minister Scott Morrison said there are three investigations underway. Whether he's telling the truth, you know, what sort of
There are three
investigations are they?
away, but none of them are independent. So.
Including, they're claiming a full independent inquiry headed by former senior public servant. How independent is that? I don't know. Robert Cornell.
It is not independent. There is no independence. There is no transparency. These
Right. And
investigations will come up with same rhetoric that Scott Morrison continually puts out.
so how do you know that? I mean, that's just a hard question to answer, but.
I think I know it because I have seen what has happened each time there has been any investigation into asylum seekers in detention. There has not been, aside from the Amnesty International report, which if you look that up, that was an independent investigation. The UN Human Rights have started an investigation. Australian Human Rights Commission are doing an investigation into the children in detention because, as you can imagine, there are thousands of children growing up in horrific conditions in detention as well. And it is true that there is more, I think, from what I can see, just over the last few weeks or maybe a month, there is more and more coming out. And I think it's because people have got sick of relying on the mainstream media to tell us what's happening and have started to investigate themselves. And there are more independent journalists who are getting stuff out. And there are people like me, I guess, who are just ordinary people who have contacts with or friendships with people who are in detention who are able to get stuff out. But one of the things I would mention too is that these detention centres are using up the money that would have been used and which has been pulled back from foreign aid. So that is being used, such as I think it's the contract with PNG is something like 450 million or something, to keep that going at the moment. There are all of these insane contracts, with that Australia is trying to set up with different countries, most of them who are very poor, such as Cambodia, they were looking at as well, to detain, and hold asylum seekers who try to reach Australia. The other point I want to make is that Australia, has, there are very few asylum seekers who try to reach Australia compared to the rest of the world.
No, I'm actually reading an article of yours in New Parliament magazine. So it's absolutely atrocious. I can't believe it. And the fact that it's hidden, and as you said, that the Murdoch media keeps it. Why doesn't the Murdoch media have more compassion? I mean, Dame Elizabeth was a compassionate old woman. You'd think that it's just extraordinary. You sometimes wonder who owns Rupert Murdoch that he doesn't actually distribute this information. I mean, where's the catch 22?
Well, I'm also wondering who owns the Australian government, and I'm wondering more and more, you know, as you and I see all of the basic rights being pulled back, pulled back, pulled back. As you mentioned, you know, the right to demonstrate being one of them. I'm wondering whether this is all about big business, mining, and that kind of economic focus that I don't know. I don't know who has control, but it seems to me like it's likely that big business has almost taken over Australia.
You'd have a comment on that, wouldn't you, Stephen? Stephen's always saying, follow the money, follow the money.
That's what I believe that too. Certainly follow the money. Transfield is an organisation, a business that is taking over, about to, or in the last few days, taken over running the detention centres, and you follow their money. Cool. But yeah.
Well, it's atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious. More people need to look at Manus Island. We need some sort of humanitarian aid to get there very quickly, don't we? I mean, it's all very well to have an inquiry. An inquiry can just take forever. You can spend 2 years doing an inquiry, but in the meantime, people's bones will obviously need resetting. People need all sorts of medication, and I'm very curious as to what sort of medical help and hospitals and doctors that they have there. Do you know anything about that, Channel?
I know that even within the Australian detention centres, the medical care of asylum seekers is appalling. It's terrible. I know that for pregnant women, I'm just shocked at how little care they get, but also how little care children, you know, just with ear infections and stuff like that. I know that on Manus Island and Nauru, from people that I've spoken to, and on Christmas Island, that medical help is, it's very low. There's not much. And one of the things that people constantly say to me is, this is happening, and they tell me, have a drink of water, you'll feel better. And these are people talking about, you know, serious conditions. So, it's certainly not taken seriously. But there is an organisation or a group set up in Australia now called Doctors for Refugees. And there was a letter put out by a group of doctors about the horrors of the medical inadequacies within the detention centres a few months ago, that was sent to Scott Morrison, and it was made public by the people who sent that as well. There are also other actions being taken, and I think I'd just like to mention that Transfield Company were a partner in the Sydney Biennale, the Arts Biennale this year. And what happened was that most of the artists who, international and national artists who were a part of that, withdrew. And finally, the Biennale cut their ties with Transfield, which was a great action.
Well, look, that is a great action, and good on them. And actually, we do have to praise the ABC, because they've got a lot of articles about Manus Island.
They're coming out great.
Yeah, they're really coming out, and they're saying that, you know, it's inhumane and it violates the prohibition against torture, and they're quoting Amnesty International. So, you know, there is sort of some, you know, we just, I suppose, need to read this tipping point. The medical staff also say they're worried about the state of the facilities. They say the toilet facilities lack even the most basic services like soap. Most of the latrines had no soap when we inspect them. There are too few showers, and toilets to accommodate the number of men in the facility, as you were saying. So you've obviously, you know, got this information yourself. So, but the medical staff are making requests just for basic measures. And that, you know, and this is the same with the way we treat our Aboriginals, as you were saying in the first place, or our, you know, original custodians of the land, as they preferred to be called. And we really have to wonder why we're letting Gina Rinehart just rip up so much of our country and send it overseas to pollute other countries with coal and other things, for want of a better word, minerals and resources, so-called resources, where they're just better off left in the ground. And
I think on that, it's just scary. And I do applaud the First Nations people here, the Aboriginal people here, have had this struggle, and we have to remember this for, you know, 230 plus years, whatever it is. They have been struggling against this kind of stuff from then, and it's only at times when it starts to touch those of us who are not Indigenous that we become aware of what some of the people in this country are living and dying with.
And you know, there are so many people, you know, people see the signs, look after asylum seekers, look after asylum seekers, look after asylum seekers. But people think, well, why are they so fussed about the asylum seekers? But the reason that we're so fussed about the asylum seekers is they don't even have asylum in the places that we've put them. You know, I mean, even if we were to say you can't come to Australia, we could at least look after them. But no, we're trying to torture enough people, and so that we send a message, don't come to Australia. Well, I add to that message, don't come to Australia. But if you're in Australia, then lobby your local politician that they do have better care of the refugee situation, because, you know, they're taking refuge in Australia, but one doesn't like to take refuge in hell. And this
No.
is like taking refuge in hell. And who would say, oh, when I die, I want to go to hell. You know, I want to take refuge in hell. Please, God or Buddha or whatever, you know, let me go to hell. Nobody wants hell. And we need to remember that. And as the Greens are saying, you know, the conditions are deliberately bad to break the
That's
asylum
right.
seekers.
Yep,
That's
that's right.
torture.
It's a determined strategy, so it is torture. It most definitely is torture.
Yeah, it's literally torture, and actually they could be charged
Yeah,
if some
it
go
fits
on.
within definitions of torture under the 1951 Refugee Convention and under the Convention Against Torture. So that's a pretty it's an important thing to think about because there is this myth of Australia that people like to hold on to of this fair country. And I think about that word now and I think, do you mean a white country as in fair colour? Is that what you're actually looking at rather than, you know, a kind of fairness, a kind of a striving for equality? Yeah.
Well, you know, it always comes back, you know, when people are lacking empathy, which we all do in certain situations at certain times, but it doesn't mean that it's healthy or that it's useful. We fail to see what it's like from the other person's point of view. But, you know, when I imagine how hard it would be to get together the money, to get some schonk, to get a boat, to take me over the ocean, how brave I would have to be to get the money together, how hard I would have to work to leave all my family, you know, just with the hope of ending up somewhere. Hopefully, I'd hope that I would end up sneaking into Australia, you know, without being caught by, but they spend all this money on just stopping them rather than actually saving them as well.
And
You know,
tying
they.
them back, the latest thing is that, you know, constantly people are being put in these orange boats, well, so-called boats, but containers, and they are then driven back to Indonesia. So the boats of people are still trying to come here, but because so much money and energy has been put into the military, patrolling the seas and then using these incredibly dangerous containers to take people back to Indonesia,
Well,
it's
it is bullying, and you know that's because and how does bullying occur? Because the bystander has an innate drive to go with the person with
Yeah, right.
status.
That's
So
so
the
true.
person, yeah. So the person with the status is the government in their, you know, fabulous uniforms, and they, you know, they have power and all their. My father used to we used to have a boat, and it had a depth finder on it, and we called it a frigging ridiculous electronic device, Fred. You know, and all these boats have Freds on them, you know, for finding people. But anyway, back to that bit of empathy situation, you know, just imagining, and then you know, you get picked up on somebody's radar, and then you get caught by these powerful people, and then you get carted off and treated in this subhuman condition, and we stand back and allow them to do it because of this drive, this bystander drive to go with the power, and we feel hopeless, so we give up and we forget about it, and we put it in the too hard basket, and in the meantime, there are people in Manus Island right now who've got broken bones.
Oh, and who are going mad. That's one of
And
the
who,
most things.
yeah, and who are going mad.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I found is helpful. Like I remember the moment when I really decided I just couldn't cope with this anymore, and it was when Gillard was in, and she said that, or the so-called authorities said after about 60 people had drowned just off Christmas Island in trying to reach Christmas Island. And it was decided that to go and retrieve their bodies was not, what was it? It was not, sorry, it's gone, was not a priority. They were not a priority. And that just really sort of hit home for me in a way that, I mean, I just burst into tears and wrote her a letter, and then I took some signs up and went and sat on our local market building steps, which I did every night for a long time. But what I found is that the burden of not doing anything or of pretending that I don't know or determinedly not listening to what is happening is alleviated by actually engaging. And it's part of that for me was starting up the vigil that I started and actually doing something and actually saying I care and so creating some kind of a connection. And the other part of it was actually forming real relationships with people. And I think that's what can be transformative.
Yeah, I can't speak at the moment because I've got some music on, so you have to say something else. I'm just trying to find a song on compassion that I think we should play at the end of this, because we have this absolutely serious empathy deficit for sure.
Well, I've just got a little email from a lovely young 17-year-old who's incarcerated. There are a lot of young women who are 18 and under who are by themselves in different camps. And I've sent her some photos from the march that you and I were at. Mm-hmm. And she sent me a message going, lovely people, this gives us hope. And I think that's beautiful.
Oh, that is just so wonderful. I think we might end at this. One thing I've learned about radio is that people really don't want to go on for too long.
No.
And I've loved having you here. What, darling, dear?
Is this edited?
This is up to Stephen as to how he edits it. He often leaves these things in.
Okay.
So kind
of leaves what in?
Those bits.
Like when I say the wrong thing.
Oh. You said nothing wrong. No, it's fairly raw. We do keep it fairly real. Sometimes you hear the tap turning on or something, or the dog bark or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, Janet. Well, look, just stay on. Is there any last thing you want to say? I think it was a really good ending anyway, but we're going to go into a song called Compassion Change the World by Andrew Witt. And if people would please just pay a little bit more attention to Manus Island and just look, if you can't be bothered writing a letter, just ring up your local councillor and say, are you doing something about Manus Island? Even if you leave a message on their answering machine and say, you know, it's not good enough that we're just looking, there's a so-called inquiry into the situation. We want medical supplies and basic human needs sent there right now. And we want freedom of reporting. And we want, well, we should be able to at least contact the medicos there.
One thing that's important to remember too is it's not just Manus Island, it's also Nauru that has horrific conditions, and it's also Christmas Island, and that each of the detention centres have conditions that are just unbelievable. So
yes,
but at this moment we're talking about Manus, but it is important to remember that there's a lot of this, and that Nauru also is important to remember.
That's right. And I think Australia should be prosecuted. I think the Australian government should be prosecuted.
They should be.
And it should go to the – now I'm having blocks about it. The international rights people, you know those people, the UNESCO, the Convention of Human Rights. This is something that we should not get away with, that we should become accountable for. And so, Janet, I'll say your surname because it's up on the website anyway.
Will
I say your surname? Well, no, forget it. Not on this website. It's up. Janet, thank you so much for being so outspoken. And I'll talk to you off air in a minute.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gillian. And thank you, Stephen. Lovely to meet you. And I'm so glad that we did this interview.
Me too. Thank you. And thank you, April Rain, on We Raw Radio for streaming this on Cancel the Cabal. For Stephen Roberts, my fabulous, fabulous friend and producer. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Okay. Good night. You're welcome.
Yeah.
If you want me to play that song, we have to mute.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Janet, thank you so much for coming with us and discussing the situation about the refugees from all over the world who are coming to Manus Island and Christmas Island and what was the other island, Janet?
Nauru.
And Nauru Island. Sorry, I'm having a mental block here. Stephen Roberts, thank you so much for being my producer once again. People's Internet Radio, thank you for streaming us. And good night, everyone.
Good night, Jill.